Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. That is Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. Welcome to Orphans No More, a podcast to encourage, educate, and equip you to care for children in crisis through adoption, foster care, and family preservation. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Thank you for joining me today for episode 268. And I have a special surprise for you today, a sneak peek into my book. You will be the first to hear some of the content and important release details. But first, as always, I love to check in with you to see how you are doing. Did you go away for spring break? How do your kids do with that change in routine? Now, I'm recording this episode a few days before Easter because my family is going to go up to the Adirondacks again for spring break. Our time up there is such good family time. The last time we went up a few weeks ago, my two boys actually played a game together, like a real game. The 17-year-old initiated a game of bingo. My mom loved to play bingo when she was alive, and I bought a bingo game thinking it might be fun to play, and they were really into it. So my 17-year-old, I think I have to say it might be the first time I ever can remember him asking his younger brother to do anything with him. And his younger brother's been home from Ukraine for like 10 years. So it was huge. The 15-year-old accepted, which was also huge. And I could hear them pleasantly playing an entire game of coverall, not even just five in a row bingo, but like they went on to play coverall. And they interacted positively. It was like this miraculous parting of the seas time. I think that the change of scenery is good for both of them. Plus, if we just stay home for breaks like this, they don't know what to do with themselves, and they would just stay in their rooms, especially my younger son. I remember the very first time we had homeschooled for a number of years, and then the first year we put him in public school, and they had not so much the Christmas break, because I feel like the Christmas break is so busy, but that winter break, and that's usually a week in February, because we'd been homeschoolers forever, I didn't even realize people go away for that winter break or for spring break. So we didn't make any plans. I was just glad to not have to, you know, get them ready for school in the morning. And I just wanted to focus on whatever, you know, whatever we were just doing around the house. But, you know, he wasn't 15 at the time, but my younger son came to me and said, a few days into the break, he said to me, I like it better when I'm in school because I know what to do. And that's when I began learning that he really needs routine. He functions better with a routine, a schedule, and that structure. So after that, we started deciding we better do something during these week-long breaks, because if not, it's just he doesn't feel safe and secure, because he really doesn't know what's going to be coming at him, and each day could look different. And he's one of those kids that needs to know, you know, right now he's already asking us what we're doing, you know, next month and next year and that kind of thing. So it's actually, the break is good as long as we're doing something constructive on that break. And the mountains are such a great family place. And although we have access to internet, there's no TV, there's no video games, there's none of that other stuff. So we're interacting together more as a family, and it's great. So anyway, I hope you had a great spring break. If you want to drop me a line and let me know what you did on spring break, how your kids navigated that, I'd love to hear your story. I am so excited, like I said, to share with you about my book. I feel like I've been talking about this book forever, and I think I have been, but I'll be sharing in a few minutes just that, how, you know, what came, you know, what happened that caused me to even write a book. But first, I want to invite you to be part of my book launch team. And I think what I'll do is I'll talk more about the book, and then at the end, I'll give you some of the details about how to be on the book launch team. But I really do hope that you will consider being part of that team. I love to connect with our listeners, and this would be a really fun way to be able to do that because we'll get to interact a lot. So the name of the book is Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father. It's a little similar to the name of this podcast, but the Lord put the phrase Orphans No More on my heart many, many years ago. And it is the podcast, but it's also a big part of what my book is about. So again, stay tuned to the end to learn how you can be on the launch team. But right now I want to start with some backstory. About 6 years ago, it could even be 7 years ago because time flies, the Lord told me to write a book. Like seriously, during a time of prayer, it was like he just dropped it into my heart. I knew I was supposed to write a book. I'd never written a book before, and I wanted to be sure that it was the Lord and not just like me. I wanted to make sure it wasn't just a Sandra idea. I wanted to make sure that I was obedient to the Lord, but that what I was hearing was not me, but that it was him. So I told the Lord I would obey, but I wouldn't write a single thing until he told me exactly what he wanted me to write. I had an idea that it would have something to do with our adoption story. I love reading adoption stories, just like on this podcast. I love when other people tell and share their stories because they're such God stories. And I love to read memoirs and books about real people and things like that. So I figured it would, you know, would be another one of those books. But I had no idea how to begin the story or where to begin or what to do. So I just waited on the Lord for him to show me when it was time to actually write something. So over a period of a few months, two different individuals, one a prophetic type person and another person, a business person, told me I would be writing a book. Like it came up in conversation. I didn't start the book. I hadn't told anybody that I felt like God wanted me to write a book, but two different people having nothing to do with one another at two separate times basically told me I would be writing a book. So I felt like that was confirmation that I was hearing from the Lord. And then my father-in-law, who since passed, but he invited me to speak to his adult Sunday school class on the topic of the orphan spirit. Now, his adult Sunday school class was like, I don't know, 40, 50 people. He had a huge following in his Sunday school class. We had been having conversations, and I had been reading a lot about the orphan spirit, and the Lord had been kind of downloading a message about the orphan spirit into my heart. So my father-in-law asked me if I would share on that. So I prayerfully put together the message, and I'd been working on it and praying about it. And the night before, we had to take the kids and go somewhere. We were like on an hour-long car ride, and my husband drove. So on the way back, it was Saturday night, I wanted to just go over my notes one more time. So I pulled them up on my phone because I had been typing out my message using an iPad that I used a lot at the time. And you know how your devices have through the cloud and all that, your documents and things are in on all of those things. So I had it on my phone. So I was going over it on the car ride home. And then early the next morning, Sunday morning, the day I was supposed to share the message, I got up in the morning, had some quiet time with the Lord, and I sat down with my iPad to open it up and review the message again. I was a little nervous because my father-in-law is he was this amazing man of God, and I knew he had a large Sunday school class, and I just felt like a little nervous, and I wanted to make sure, you know, I had my notes and I had my act together and I was ready and prepared. But as soon as I opened the file on my iPad, it literally disappeared. Like I opened it and I saw it, and then swoosh, it was gone in a split second. And I panicked and flew off the couch, grabbed my cell phone because I remembered I had looked at it on my cell phone the night before. I opened it up on my cell phone and I hit print as fast as I could. I heard my printer turn on and start to print. And then the notes disappeared off my phone. I clung to the notes when I grabbed them off of the printer and thanked God for them because I had not printed them previously. And this disappearing of documents had never happened to me before like that. That was, I used my iPad and took notes on it all the time. I still do it on my phone. And you know, I take my church notes. So I have a running whole bunch of notes on my phone. And it just, it was crazy because it just disappeared. That had never happened to me before. I might add, it has not happened to me since. But I sensed that the enemy did not want me speaking on the topic of the orphan spirit. Like, I kind of felt like I was onto something and I was getting some opposition from the enemy. So I went and I shared my message. It went very well. And many, many people afterward came up to me and commented that they felt like the message was anointed, which I was like, wow, nobody had ever told me that before. So I just felt like God was up to something. And the next morning, as I sat and pondered during my quiet time, and I thought about all the, you know, what was that? What had happened? The Lord nudged me. And it was this nudge, like, this is the topic of my book. This is what God wanted me to write on. It was going to have something to do with the orphan spirit. So I began to write, even though I really had never written a book before. I write blog posts. I write radio spots. I do the outline for this podcast. I write lots of things. And since then, I've written a lot more because I've been learning how to write. But I'd never written a book before. But I was a journaler for many, many years prior to bringing home our youngest son, and then journaling, where I have all these journals from that whole season of my life, but yet I don't journal as much as I used to. But I had a journal with me. I journaled everything from when the Lord was calling us to adopt, through, you know, just coming to agreement with the Lord that, okay, this is what you want us to do. You want us to adopt. And then mission trips that I went on, and then our two adoption trips to Ukraine, and I had everything journaled. So I had like all these document, all these journals to go through that had all of the details that I needed to put the story together to tell our adoption story. So I wrote it on and off over a few years. You know, busy family. Come on, I have 8 kids. You know, in the process, like during that season, that time, I lost my mom. Then the next year, my mother-in-law passed away, and just a busy life, parenting kids from hard places, and all of that. So I wrote on and off, and then the Lord began to sort of turn up the heat, like you need to get this finished. So I set a goal to self-publish by the fall of 2019. So it was that summer. I was on a mission. I'm going to finish this book, and then I'm going to go do the self-published thing on Amazon, and then I'll be done with it. Like, I'm done. I'll be done. But I got the opportunity to attend a Speak Up Christian Writers and Speakers conference in July of that summer, July 2019. And I went, and it was like, I went with a good friend of mine, Deb Dufek, and we weren't there an hour when we arrived the very first day of this several day long conference. The first hour, it was like we knew we were going to come back the following year. And I just soaked up all of these workshops and all of these things, this training and teaching. And I sat in on a workshop about self-publishing. And by the time I left that conference, I knew I was to not just self-publish like that. At that conference, I connected with a couple of hybrid publishers. Hybrid publishing is like a cross between the self-publishing and traditional publishing. And prayerfully, I chose Brookstone Creative Group to be my publisher. And basically, it's sort of like you pay up front for the services that you want, and they provide those services for you. So Brookstone assigned me 8 sessions with a writing coach. That was part of my package deal, right? And it turned out to be more like 16 sessions is what I ended up doing with Larry Leach. He's an incredible patient teacher. He's an incredible teacher. Let me rephrase that. He's an incredible teacher, and he's an incredibly patient teacher. And he walked me through every paragraph of what I thought was a manuscript. It was what I thought was a manuscript was really more like a skeleton. And Larry helped me to learn the writing process, hone my craft, and add the meat and the muscle to this manuscript so that now it's this story. And I have to say that I am so grateful that I went in that direction, that I followed the Lord's lead on that, because if I would have just self-published that fall what I thought was a manuscript compared to what it is today, I'd be like mortified. I am mortified thinking I would have released it the way it was. It was really a rough draft. So I've learned a whole lot. So you're getting a much better version of this story than if I would have just self-published. And things are moving along. And then COVID. And last year when COVID hit, my boys were suddenly home from school. So my quiet morning time to write disappeared. And it was that time where the boys are home and you've got to do those, Google Meets, and they have to do their school online. And it was crazy, right? You guys know, because you've lived through that too. But it was like my quiet time, and I needed quiet in order to write. There was no more quiet. So then the whole process took a lot longer. It slowed me down for several months, but here we are finally. And now the ebook version of Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father is tentatively releasing toward the end of May. And then the physical copy, the printed, book that you'll hold in your hand, will release a few weeks after that. So a little bit later into June. And I can't believe it is finally happening. I'm excited and scared at the same time. This book has been inside me for so long, and now that it's time for others to read it, it's a really vulnerable place to be. I've gotten lots of positive feedback. I shared it with my pastor, obviously the publisher. My husband has read it. Now all of my adult children have read it, and then I reached out to some key people. Precious folks in the adoption, foster care, orphan ministry, author world, and they've written some incredible endorsements that I'll share as time goes on. Probably not in this podcast episode; we won't have time. But I will. They'll be coming up. But those endorsements are included in the book. So I was just so humbled and honored and blessed by what the endorsers wrote. And Jody Jackson Tucker, who's the international director for Orphan Sunday, and she's authored a couple of books herself. She wrote the foreword for the book. So I'm just so humbled and just in awe of all that God has done with this book that I wrote. Like, I wrote a book. I'm still sort of in shock about it. So I'll tell you a little bit about the book. It is 25 chapters. It's not like thick like War and Peace or anything, but it's 25 chapters plus an appendix. And the appendix at the end are amazing testimonies from former orphans, all of whom have been guests on this show in the past, like Mandy Litsky and Daniel Kagwa and Jacob Sturgis and Anu Silas from India, like just incredible people whose stories just are inspiring because they were literally orphans or kids in foster care who grew up, and some of them got adopted, some of them did not get adopted, but they all have come to know Jesus personally. They know God is their heavenly Father, and their lives have been transformed. They don't carry an orphan mindset. They're active in ministry, and they know their identity in Christ. And I ask them, how did you know? What made that difference in your life? Because so many wounded, hurting individuals, whether they were in foster care or whether they were orphaned, or even whether they were orphaned from a spiritual sense, like all of us, many of us are. What made that difference that you're not still in that place of being wounded and hurt and traumatized, but you are living victoriously in Christ as a child of God, not as an orphan? So they gave an answer to that question, and that is in my book, in the back of the book. So the first 20 chapters cover our family's two adoptions from Ukraine and the kinship adoption of our oldest daughter. They also include why we adopted, what led us to adopting, how my husband and I both got on the same page. There's a chapter about children from hard places, those things that we learned after our kids came home. We learned what we didn't know and what we needed to know. And then the last four chapters are about the characteristics of an orphan spirit and how to be healed, because from the lens of being an adoptive parent, I began to understand my own salvation better. In fact, let me read you, I'm going to read you the introduction. How about that? I'll actually read you something hot off the press from the book. This is the introduction. It starts with Ephesians 1, 3 through 5, which I've already read. But let me just read a little bit of this in the book. It says, "The cross of Christ is our adoption process. Adoption is not a man-made plan B, but God's plan A from the beginning, even before he made the world. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his family. He would never leave us as orphans. Through Jesus Christ, he would adopt us and make us his children. We would be orphans no more. The physical adoption of a child into a family is a model of our spiritual adoption. I've been a Christian for more than 30 years, but it wasn't until my husband and I adopted our children that I began to understand my salvation, my identity, and my destiny. Every adoption is a God story. So in the following pages, I will intertwine God's word with stories from our family's three adoption journeys. In the second half, I will illustrate the parallels between physical and spiritual adoption, the orphan spirit, and the spirit of adoption. Wayne and I have been called heroes by people who believe we've done a wonderful thing, adopting children. I'm not fooled by this well-meaning praise because I know this story is not about anything great we have done, but about what God has done. Fellow adoptive mom Eileen Mestis has said many times, it's his story for his glory. And that's why I'm sharing my story. Over the past decade, I've met countless foster and adoptive families and orphan ministry leaders from around the world. I've had the privilege of interviewing many of them on my Orphans No More radio show and podcast. Every one of their stories is a God story. God called them. They stepped out in obedience. And God equipped them. Orphans are now sons and daughters. God gets the glory. So here is my family's story." So that's the introduction that sort of sets the pace, sets the tone for what you will read in the 25 chapters. And I'll just do a little teaser because chapter one is titled Andre's Story. This is how the book opens. And I'm just going to read the first two paragraphs. And it opens with the scripture verse from Psalm 68:6, God sets the lonely in families. And this is from chapter one. "Remain an orphan or become a son. Andre stood at a crossroads. Our son chose to stay orphaned. He was 9. His sister Anna, 7. Because of his decision, she would endure as an orphan too. The reason remained a mystery for 4 years until Andre stood in church in 2011 to give a testimony. I had no clue what my 14-year-old son would say, but his opening line captivated me. I now know the love of God. Andre shared about living in a Ukrainian orphanage. Then he explained how he and Anna had traveled to Chicago twice on an orphan hosting program. I was riveted. My son was about to reveal the secret." And I'm going to leave you dangling there. I'm sorry. But you'll have to read the book in order to find out what happens next. And I hope you will read the book. I'm really excited. The orphan spirit part, let me just see. Maybe I can read a little bit. a little bit from that. I don't want to get too far into it. I don't want to read you the whole thing, but I'll just set the tone for the orphan spirit. How about that? So this is actually chapter 23. It's titled The Orphan Spirit, and it opens with Romans 8:14 and 15. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. And then this is the chapter. The orphan spirit was first brought to earth by Lucifer when he was tossed out of heaven. Because of his rebellion, Satan lost his close relationship with God and his heavenly home. He became the first orphan. From that time on, he has hated families, children, and babies. The devil has been on an orphan-making mission ever since. In Genesis 3, we witnessed the enemy's first attack on God's children. The devil spied Adam and Eve in the garden, a home they shared with their father, the one who tossed him out of heaven. The couple enjoyed everything Satan had lost, and he hated them for it. Through the serpent, the orphan spirit targeted Eve. When tempting her to eat the forbidden fruit, the snake said, "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God." The serpent deceived Eve into believing she didn't have something she already possessed. Eve was already like God. But the devil planted seeds of doubt. He tricked Eve into, I have to turn the page, believing God couldn't be trusted. She bought the lie. When Adam and Eve bit into the fruit, Satan snatched away dominion over the earth. He gained a kingdom while they lost both intimacy with the Father and their garden home. Adam and Eve became orphaned. The devil has continued his mission today to steal our identity as God's children and destroy our destiny. The Lord created every person with a kingdom purpose. Psalm 139, verse 16 says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment laid out before a single day had passed." Christians who know their true identity are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. For thousands of years, Satan has deceived God's children into believing and behaving like orphans. A spiritual orphan does not know how to receive the love of God. They live in survival mode instead of trusting their heavenly Father to care for them. They still act like orphans even though they've been adopted into God's family. Recognizing the characteristics of the orphan spirit will enable us to identify his lies and combat them with truth. Orphans and foster children are prone to carry an orphan spirit. However, that spirit infiltrates the church as well. We all are vulnerable to the enemy's identity-stealing scheme. Seasoned adoptive and foster parents recognize orphan attitudes in their children. Belief systems rooted in shame, fear, self-protection, control, insecurity, and rejection. All these characteristics are common in kids with trauma histories. As Christians, we should be acting like the children of God that we are instead of acting like rejected orphans. Therefore, we need to identify these paralyzing thought patterns in ourselves. In this chapter, I'll unpack the orphan mindsets of shame, fear, and self-protection. Control, insecurity, and rejection issues will be addressed in the next chapter. And I think I'm going to stop there. But that kind of gives you an idea of where the last part of the book goes. So I hope you were intrigued enough to think that maybe you would like to read the entire book. And I hope you were intrigued enough to maybe want to be part of my book launch team. So again, the book launch team members, if you would like to be on the team, they get to read, pre-read actually, a PDF version of my book for free and be part of a private Facebook group for discussion and updates. And we're going to need book launch members to write a review on Amazon. The first 3 days it is out on Amazon at the end of May. It will be only in the ebook version. And book launch members, even though they've already read the PDF, we're asking all of the book launch folks to download the book from Amazon. It's going to be for free the first 3 days. You download it, and then within the next 24 hours, you leave a review on Amazon so that you, when you download it, you'll be considered an actual, like a verified Amazon user, so that it's not just me going in there with a bunch of different names saying that I read the book and it's great kind of thing, but you're a verified, you know, reviewer because you've purchased this particular book, you downloaded it. It'll be free. You won't actually be having to purchase it, but you get the gist. You leave a review. We're hoping to get at least 50 reviews in the first few days that the book is out. That's a huge boost for us in marketing. And I'm asking that you would write out or email me a few sentences of a review that we can also use for marketing purposes. And the final thing is we're wanting you to share on all of your social media, the memes and the different things that we share on our social media about the book. So if you're already online a lot, like most of us are in this day and age, it's not really going to be like hard for you to do any of these things because you're already present and you're already there. But I'm hoping that you will become part of my book launch team so that we can connect. I'll be in that private Facebook group. It'll be kind of like an exclusive group. We're going to be hanging out in there together. I'll be doing some videos. I'll be posting things, and you'll be the first to know the exact date of the launch and that the book will be released and all of that. So it's kind of like our own special little group, and it's open to anybody who wants to be in it. So if you would like to be on my book launch team, please send me an email to sandraflackjfo@gmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook and message me and let me know that you're interested in being on the book launch team. I'll need your email address so that you can be emailed the information that you're going to need to know, and I can email you the PDF. I would like to have our group together, kind of like solidified by April 15th. So as soon as you hear this, if you can go on there and do it. If you're hearing this and it's after April 15th, but not like 6 months after or anything, but within a week or so, and you do want to get on the book launch team, I might be able to add you. So please reach out to me in case I can add you, because I don't want to miss out. I don't want you to miss out either. So reach out to me. And stay tuned to this podcast and to all of my social media for updates so that you can learn the exact date of the book release. And I'll be revealing my new website. If you write a book, apparently you have to have your own website. So I will be releasing sandraflack.com as part of the book launch as well. And that is going to be a website where I am going to blog on a regular occasion, weekly. And you'll also be able to, you can purchase the book from there. If anybody wants a signed copy of the book, you would order it from my website. Or you can order it once it's released the end of June. You can order it from wherever books are sold. You can go into brick and mortar bookstores, that's one of my favorite things to do is peruse a bookstore. But you can go in there into a bookstore and you can order it as well. It's going to be out for distribution. So if it's not on the shelf of the bookstore, you can ask the bookstore to order it for you and they'll be able to order it for you. And I hope you'll do that, because if you do that, then if enough people ask, bookstores will start carrying the book on their shelves. So it'll be available wherever good books are sold, but you'll also be able to get it from my website if you want a signed copy. So anyway, lots of stuff going on, and I hope you stayed tuned here through the end, and I thank you so much if you did. I'm so grateful that you listen. Be sure also to check out the podcast episodes that I collaborated on with Kathleen Guire. I'm going to be on her show as well as some other shows to talk specifically about my book in the near future. But we sat down and collaborated on her January, February, and March 2021 episodes. Her episodes are shorter. They're like a 15-minute episode. And if you ever wanted to sit down and have a cup of coffee with two veteran adoptive moms and hear all about, you know, all the wrong things they did and then how they learned to do the right things and, you know, just kind of, you know, be a fly on the wall, so to speak, as we're chatting, you'll love these episodes. We had so much fun recording them. You can find them on your favorite podcast platform by searching Positive Adoption, and it's Kathleen Guire's show. And I hope you'll check them out. And she's also on social media, so you can actually find it there as well. If you are inspired by today's show, I know I was inspired last week by Jen's show. I hope you heard. If you didn't, man, go back and check that out. Last week's episode, episode 267 with Jen Andrews, Jennifer Andrews. Incredible story. So I hope you'll go back. I know I was so inspired by her story. It's just amazing. And I hope you enjoyed what I shared about the book. And I hope you're intrigued and interested in possibly reading my book. So if you were inspired, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review to this episode, to this podcast, Orphans No More. When you do, that boosts our algorithm up in, you know, cyberspace there, so more podcast listeners can find this show. Please also share it on your social media and with your fellow foster and adoptive parent friends so they can be encouraged too. Make sure you check out my social media. I am on Facebook at Sandra Flack, and also my new, I have an author, a Sandra Flack author page, and I have a new Instagram, which is at Sandra Flack _JFO. And I'm also on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans. You can check out some of our ministry work on the Justice for Orphans sites. And if you'd like, again, to be on my book launch team, be sure to email me at sandraflackjusticefororphans@gmail.com by April 15th, preferably. Thanks again for joining me for episode 268 of Orphans No More. I am thrilled to have you along for the journey.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard, and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.